Have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 17. This will be our Thanksgiving Sunday morning message, and I hope you'll listen on purpose and not distract. You won't talk, you'll just be zoned in. When you come to church, you want to kind of feel like you're the only one there when the message starts. Don't be thinking of so-and-so really needs this, and wish so-and-so was here. You just want to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And that's a good way to see things. So we're in Luke. Brother Joseph, can we just get one fan turned on just so there's a little circulation? I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Great, great, great. Great, great spirit this morning. Here we go. All right. Luke chapter number 17. And let's stand in honor of God's word if you're able to. Luke 17, I'll read out loud just this little story that takes place only in the book of Luke, these details. Here it is, Luke 17, and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" I love this story. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, 9 guys who missed Thanksgiving. The 9 guys that missed Thanksgiving. Some of you men right now are saying, "Thank God it ain't going to be me. I hadn't missed one in years." And we're not talking about the restaurant 5 guys. We're talking about the 9 guys. So look, restaurants already on your mind, some of you. Let's pray. Father, bless this time now. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Someone said Thanksgiving is the season when one species begins eating and another species ceases to eat. You'll get that later. A little boy was asked to pray over the Thanksgiving meal, and they'd invited all these relatives they never see over. And his mom said, "Son, pray." And he said, "I don't know what to say. Just say what daddy says to God." He said, "Okay. Oh, God, why in the world did I invite these people over?" And that was his little prayer. One little boy was invited to eat at his friend's house. The boy's family was Christians, and his friends were not. And so his friends did not pray over the meal. And so they just sat down, put the food on the table, and started eating. After a few moments, the boy spoke up and said, "You guys are just like my dog. He just jumps right in." And so hopefully we will not be like that guy's dog this coming Thursday, and really all the time, all the time. General Douglas MacArthur said this. He said after World War II, he had sent hundreds and tens of thousands of troops to the battle zones. He had shipped over their ammunition, their MREs, their food, their cots, their blankets, their uniforms, their ammunition, all those things. He got a letter after the war that said, "Dear General MacArthur, I just want to thank you. I'm one of the troops that fought in such and such battles. Thank you for the uniforms, the warm blankets, all the meals you provided for us guys while we were over there." MacArthur said, "I received one thank you from the soldiers all throughout World War II." Kind of interesting. It's just kind of our nature not to be real thankful. We have this national holiday we observe as Thanksgiving. President Lincoln, I believe, was the one that made it a final official holiday. But if you know the history, and these days this is not being taught in our schools, we're too busy learning a lot of other facts that may not help our lives. But as history shows it, people were looking for religious freedom. So they sailed across dangerous seas to come to the, quote, promised land, or the newfound land, the land of freedom, America. It's interesting how many people sail here and try to get here. I know we got our problems, but a lot of people want to come here. And they came. And they offered thanks for the safety of the voyage. Interesting, the Mayflower, you study the history, and they were not bringing flowers to America, by the way. Some of you that hadn't studied it, it was the name of the boat, the Mayflower. The mast broke during a storm. They were sitting ducks, if you will. They were not going anywhere. But there was a printing press that they had put on the ship to print Bibles. When they came to America, the newfound land, they were going to print Bibles. And they took a long bolt out of that printing press, repaired the mast so they could get to America. That's because they were going to print Bibles in America. That's not being taught much in our schools these days, but that's in history books. And they came here, and of course, the very first Thanksgiving meal, Thanksgiving, by the way, if there's no God, who do we thank? These days, we see little mottos all over town, all over people's houses, give thanks. My question is, to who? If you don't believe in God, who are you thankful to? Well, you need to be a thankful person. Have gratitude. To who? And so the very first, I've read in history, the very first Thanksgiving was not the big feast that we think of, but it was a death in every family. Every family had experienced someone who died that harsh winter. And they actually had 4 grains of corn. That was the allowance per person for that meal that day. Now, the next year, they learned, you know, to shoot the birds out of the trees and the corn and all that kind of stuff in the feast. But the first one, 4 grains of corn. And so it was a tradition for many years. As they set the feast on the table, they would also set one plate with 4 grains of corn just to remind them it wasn't always this good. I was told by Brother DeBritz, it's personal conversation, I'd never share this. He works on the Golden Gate Bridge security to help folks who are thinking about ending their life, to try to rescue them. And he told me, he said, this week starts the jumping season, where people's problems are so magnified, they think the only way out is to end their life. And that's all because we focus on the wrong things. Take your fingers for a moment, and here's all I want you to do is be able to count just for a second. Some of you do this already. I mean, you graduated and you still, well, let me say, carry the 4, 42 minus. Anyway, so here it is. As I name something, just, okay, that's 1. Okay, I got that one. Here we are. Here's just some of the categories in life. Just kind of vote on it and see where you're at. You ready? Salvation. If you're saved and you're going to heaven, you won the lottery. I mean, you got a mansion. It may be terrible down here, but it's not always down here. We're about to trade. I mean, it's the reservation's in. Disneyland's coming, if you will. So if you're saved, okay, there it is right there. And that's the big one. You can have none of these other 9, but if you got that one, you're doing great. Salvation, here's 1. A Bible. Is there a Bible in your language? Okay, now you got 2. Here's another one. Health. Now, all of us are falling apart. I understand. Eyes, ears, knees, joints, shoulders. And the older you get, the more it's falling apart. And I understand this. But if you were able to walk in the building and see the seat you were getting in and hear the singing, You got some good things. Some of you got major health issues you're battling through. Some of you've had real good health 50 years now. It's starting to wane. But health. Next, job. Job or want a job or could have a job. These days, a lot of people don't want a job, but you could have one. That's what I'm saying. A job. Some of you've worked a job, then you've retired, and nothing's wrong with that. But you had a job to provide income and put groceries on the table. Here's another one. Education. Anyone in America that wants an education can get one. It's not that way in a lot of other countries. If you're a woman and in an Islam country, you can't learn to read or write for the most part. You don't get that choice of an education. But okay, so many of us, we're at four. Here's one: senses. Eyes to see, ears to hear. COVID didn't take your taste permanently or your smelling. You can touch. You've got those senses. Not bad. Here's another one, a church. Now, if this isn't your church, there's other churches, but I'm just saying, in America, you can find a church that preaches the Word of God and exalts Jesus Christ, baptizes the converts, and tries to go after people and help people. So there's a church. Here's one, a friend. And you may, by the way, better to have one real friend than 10,000 Facebook wannabe friends. I got 10,000 followers. Do you even know their names? No, but they're following. Hey, man, I'd be afraid if you got 10,000 people following you. That's strange. Next, family. Now, you may not like all your family. You may not be close to all your family. But if you have what you would call some family, some relatives that are still alive that you can get together with. And then here's another one, shelter. Perhaps someone slept under the bridge last night. I'm sorry if you had to do that. You may not own a home, but you live in a home. You may not own a home or live in a home. You may live in an apartment. You may share a bunk. You may be sleeping on someone's couch, but last night you were indoors with a roof over your head, probably with running water, a toilet, and probably some food. So we're looking at about 10 things right there. If you say, well, one of them's not going good for me. 9 out of 10. I think that's still an A or a B plus. Well, I got two of them not going well. That's an 80%. You're probably at a C, C plus, B minus. Not bad. Well, three of them aren't going good for me, Pastor. That's a 70. It's still passing. Well, four of them aren't going for me. I think with the new grading system, that's still a passing grade. I got 9 of them not working. That's still an A plus. I mean, you meant well, and you put forth effort, and you still get a trophy for participation. And I just want to say this. Satan always majors on the negative one. You can have all of them going well, and all of a sudden life is not good because of that one area. Thankfulness majors on the ones that are doing well. I want to say this. Naturally, we are unthankful. You can prove it. You can go into the nursery right now and watch the little kids playing with the toys. Here's a whole pile of toys. One new little kid comes over, grabs a toy. All of a sudden, all the other kids want that toy. Mine. And you hear words like that. Then you hear words like, gimme. That's one word, gimme. And that's kind of our nature. The Bible says this. In Luke 6:35, God is kind to the unthankful. Kind to the unthankful. What's that mean? God is not kind just to those that are thankful. This morning, the sun came up over the atheist's house, over the drug dealer's house, over the God hater's house, just like it did over the Christian's house. That's how great a God we have. He is kind to those that curse him. He's kind to those that don't believe in him. He's kind to those that say his name in vain. That's the God we serve. He is kind. Not only that, the Bible says in the last days, 2 Timothy 3:2, the sins will be unthankful. We will have a spirit that is unthankful. And if we ever lived in a day that is unthankful, it is today. Unthankful for what people have done for us. Young people unthankful for what their parents have done for them. Christians unthankful for what God has done for them. Then it says in the last days, or in Romans 1:21, neither were thankful. The Bible lists these civilizations from Rome to Greece that have fallen. They started off right with the Lord, and then they hit bottom. Every one of them, it says, neither were thankful. And that's America right now. It's been so many things given to us. We expect it to the point of, were we even thankful for how spoiled we were? We started off the land of plenty, and we're just kind of used to that. If you visit third world countries, you'll find out we are a spoiled country here in America. We got, hey, look at the store shelves. Hardly anything on them. Go to other countries. There's nothing on their store. There's no stores in many of those areas. We're commanded to be thankful. The Bible says, be ye thankful unto him. Psalm 100 verse 4. Colossians 3:15, be ye thankful. The song, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. We have examples in the Bible of thankful people. Jesus was always thankful. The Bible says that when he had given thanks, he took the lunch and he gave thanks. He was thankful for what he already had. Sometimes we're wondering why God doesn't give us more. Maybe it's he's waiting until we're thankful for what we already have. Paul was thankful. It was during a storm. 14 days they've not eaten. And he stops and he says, be of good cheer. He says, we're all here. Not a hair of our head's going to fall. He said, let's give thanks for this food we're about to eat. He stopped during the storm and thanked God. I think of Daniel. He was taken captive to Babylon as a youth. And now he's in his 70s. And the Bible says he knelt and three times a day gave thanks to the Lord. He had gone through tough times, gone through a lot of trials, but he said, I've still got something to be thankful for. When Jesus got born, an elderly lady in Luke 2:38 named Anna came inside of the building, and it says when she saw the Christ child, she gave thanks. She was an elderly woman, still had something to be thankful for. The Bible says in Revelation 4:9 and 11:17, when we get to heaven, guess what we'll be doing? Giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the years you gave me. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel being so easy. Thank you, Lord, for friends that you gave me. Thank you, Lord, for the church I got to attend. Thank you, Lord, I got to grow up in America. Thank you. Forever we'll be just saying, oh, and another thing, let me thank you for this too. Forever we'll never run out of things to thank him for. The Bible says, giving of thanks, 1 Timothy 2:1. Some things we can give to God, and sometimes we can give to others. Thank God, thank others. It was Corrie ten Boom. Someone told me they listened to it recently. She was the lady that was a watchmaker. We gave her biography in church. And as the Jews were fleeing the Germans, being exterminated in the death camps, her family would house those Jews that were fleeing. They would keep them in closets. They would keep them in little hidden chambers until the German soldiers searched and finally left. Well, they got caught. Her and her sister got sentenced to a concentration camp, 18 months, Ravensbrück. 180,000 women were killed. Oh, by the way, in American history now, to the far left, that never happened. That never happened. That was all made up. The Jews being exterminated, that was just all made up. It never happened. No, it did happen too. It's a part of history. You can erase all the history you want to. You can say it all you want. It still happened. And they went to that concentration camp. They got there. It's wintertime. They were stripped naked, had to stand in the cold and in the ice and in the snow for hours. They went into these dormitories, if you'll call them that, three bunks. Women had to sleep two to three in a bunk. It was infested with fleas. As they went in, those fleas started jumping all over those ladies, biting them. They could hardly sleep at night. But Corrie ten Boom was a soul winner. She loved God with all of her heart. She smuggled in her New Testament Bible. And her sister said, Corrie,
We need to be thankful for the fleas. She said, what? She said, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. So until you can be thankful for the fleas, God won't bless us. She said, I can't do that. She said, you need to do that. And finally, late one night, they were praying, oh God, thank you for the fleas that are biting us right now. She said, Corey, have you noticed the guards don't come into the ladies' dorm? They don't come in here and beat us like they beat the other prisoners. They leave us alone because they don't want the fleas to bite them. So we're able to take candles and open our Bibles and read God's word and win souls and share the gospel with all these ladies. This is why we're here, to win these ladies. Thank God for the fleas. I think those ladies had something I struggle to have. You say, well, Pastor, what happened to these 10 leper guys? Back to the story. Here's the message. The message is about one guy that said thanks, and God put him in the Bible. Scripture says Jesus was going through Samaria. Jesus kind of broke the mold. The Jews were very prejudiced people. They believed that when the gospel came, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, or the Savior, they just felt like God only loved the Jews. So they did not want to share that good news with anyone who was non-Jewish. Interesting. So prejudice didn't start in your lifetime. It started thousands of years ago. And there was a certain area, kind of half-breed people that were kind of part Jew and not all the way Jew and not all the way Gentile. It was a place called Samaria. The Jews would not walk into Samaria. Guess what Jesus did? He walked through Samaria. Jesus said, there's some people that need me. By the way, if you're sitting here today and you're hopeless and you wonder if anybody loves you, Jesus loves you. Somebody, hey, there's somebody you need and he wants you. So he ends up coming into town and there's a group of 10 men. One of them is a Samaritan. 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan. It's interesting how misery brings people together that normally would not be together. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans and vice versa. But here's this one Samaritan with the Jews. How come? They've all got leprosy. Quickly, what is leprosy? It was much like the AIDS of their day. There was no cure. It would stop the feeling in the senses. An internal disease that after a while would manifest itself outwardly. The appendages would rot off. The person literally rotted. The eyelashes soon would forget to blink and the eyes would stay open. The eyes would be infected and soon they were blind. The ears would rot off. The nose would rot off. They would start bumping their fingers and toes. They couldn't feel them. They'd break. They'd get infected. Soon, it was nothing but nubs left on their fingers and toes. And it was highly contagious just through breathing. So if someone came around a leper, the law was they had to cover their mouth and say, unclean, unclean, stay there, I'm unclean. You don't want to catch this. As soon as they were diagnosed with leprosy, they were kicked out of town. They had a leper camp outside of town where they all died together. So if someone came down with leprosy, there was no cure. There was no medicine, no cure. You died a slow, rotting death. It meant death. You were ostracized. It cost you your job. It cost you your family. It cost you your kids. It cost you all relationships. That's why sin in the Bible is compared to leprosy. You can't see it at first. It starts rotting the inside. Our thought life, our beliefs, our priorities, our loves, our desires. It starts rotting down deep inside long before it comes out in the outside. And it's contagious. You get around someone who's sinning, pretty soon you're going to be doing the same sinning, and the wages of sin is death. Well, anyway, Jesus is walking and there's this group of these lepers and they cry out, Master, Jesus, have mercy upon us. How'd they know his name? I think word must have gotten out. He raises the dead. He heals the lepers. He gives eyesight to the blind. He helps crippled people walk. He feeds the hungry. He walked on the water. Word gets out. That's why from time to time people will drop in this church and they'll say, I've heard about this church for years. I met someone who told me their life was changed and I just came to check it out. Word got out. Amen. And as Christmas season, we need to let the word get out. Jesus still touches people's lives. Now you say, Pastor, why did he heal? Because God is compassionate. He could not see a person with a physical need that he could not heal. And he healed him. Healed him immediately. So why do they ask for mercy? That's what we all need. Mercy is God not giving us the judgment we deserve. We're saved, and his mercy endureth forever. What's that mean? The wages of sin is death. If we've ever sinned, we have to pay for it. If we paid for it, it's hell for all eternity. What is his mercy? Him not judging us in hell for all eternity. God has shared his mercy. The moment we receive Jesus as our Savior, it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of your own works. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. The moment we receive him, grace means gift. We have now received something we don't deserve. And so they cry out for mercy. And what happens? Just quickly. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Now, why did he say that? Because in the Old Testament, if someone thought they had leprosy, they were quarantined. Kind of strange. Back then, they quarantined the sick people. Novel idea. They didn't quarantine the whole nation. They quarantined the people with leprosy, or they thought they did. Stuck them in a tent. Priest came in, examined them. See you in 10 days, examine them. You don't have leprosy. You just had bad breath. Get out of here. And so that's what they did. The priests kind of acted like medical assistants or doctors. So when Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests, they knew what that meant. It meant we must have just got healed. The priest has got to verify it before we can go back home. So says, have mercy on us. Go show yourself to the priest. They could have said, nah. We're not healed. It said the moment they turned back to head home, they were all healed. They must have believed what he said, huh? Amen. You got to believe what he said. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm getting there. I just don't really believe it. You got to believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You got to believe. Jesus was born. He was God, not just a man. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, paid for our sins, rose again with his own power. He's seated up in heaven. You got to believe that to be saved. When I worked with the teenagers in Louisiana, we had a teen activity every week. For 2 years, it about killed me. Every week, every Friday night, teen activity. And then after that, every other week, I was just worn out. We'd do all this work, and I'd remember all those kids that get off the bus, and after a while, nobody said thank you. Driving the bus, making the reservations, all the work, all the activity, and no one said thank you. I remember being a bus captain, picking up all these people for church, getting up early, getting the bus gas, getting people, getting them to church, dropping them off back at their house, and it seemed like hardly anybody said, thank you. Thank you. Maybe that's why God highlighted this one guy. He came back, said, thank you. If you're a thankful person, let me just tell you this, you will be in the minority. If you get benefits for being a minority, be a thankful person, you'll get all kinds of benefits. Let me give you several facts about this thankful one, the one. Number one, his thanksgiving was prompt. He didn't wait 5 years and later email, hey, Jesus, you remember when you healed me 5 years? Hey, thanks, man. It was immediate. God does something for you, thank him and tell others about it. A person does something for you, thank them and tell others about it. He was prompt. I got an email. I'd been here maybe 15. No. I'd been here 20 years. So this would have been 30 years past. Always witnessed in my high school, Struma High School, passing out gospel tracts, trying to witness to whoever would listen. Bought a case of Bibles, started giving out Bibles on the campus. My brother got an email that said, "Dear Tommy," that's my brother's name. That's why they emailed him and said, "Dear Tommy. I never told you this, but Mike was probably the first one to ever share with me the gospel. I'd never heard it before high school. The last few years have been busy. I became a principal at a Christian school. I became a missionary out of the country for many years. I'm teaching music at a Christian school. I'm teaching a teenage boy's Sunday school class. This is just a long overdue thank you. I never knew the guy ever got saved." What's that saying? Don't make people wait 35 years. Someone's a blessing. Don't wait till they die and look at the casket and say, "You were such a blessing." Tell them now. Amen. Mrs. Evans had stage 4 ovarian cancer. And she'd sit here, her hair had all fallen out through the different treatments. She'd get so wound up, she'd throw her wig out into the crowd. She was a wild woman. A wild woman. I'd catch it, throw it back. No, I didn't. I said, "Throw your wooden leg too." No, I didn't tell her that. But I remember she'd say, "Don't send me flowers when I'm dead. Send them to me when I'm alive." We fooled her. We sent them to her when she's alive and when she was dead, both. His thanksgiving was prompt. Number two, he went to Jesus first. They didn't say, "Well, he said go to the priest. Let's go to the priest." No. They said, no. Someone more important than the priest is here. I'm thinking Jesus first. Amen. Number three, he was humble. It said he fell down on his face. He got on his knees. He stretched out prostrate right in front of Jesus. He was humble. Thankfulness shows a humble heart. Unthankfulness shows a proud heart. Someone said, if you want to look for gratitude, look for it in the dictionary because you won't find it any other place. You ever let someone up in traffic and they just pull out? "Hey, wait. How about at least a wave? Hey, I just let you up in traffic. How about at least acknowledging me?" "Well, you're not going to acknowledge me?" Ramming speed. Here we go. How many of you are glad you cannot have hand grenades in your car? Slip your hand up. How many of you would be in jail for murder right now? Oh, really? I just let you up. You held up a finger at me? Is that your IQ? God bless you, brother. See you in heaven. Number five, he had silence. He said, "What do you mean, silence?" He's thanking Jesus, but get this. Jesus says, "Where are the 9? Hey, where's your buddies? Hey, where's your compadres? Hey, where's your homies? Where's your hermanos? Where's your fellow lepers? Hey, where's your team? Where's your gang?" He didn't say anything about the 9 unthankful. He was focused on Jesus. He didn't say, "Where are those guys? I'm the only one thankful. No. He didn't jump on those. Hey, some people will never be thankful for anything you ever do for them. You can be the boss. You can spoil them. They're never going to say thanks. You're never going to get a thank you letter. You may cook the best meals. Some kids may never thank their parents. You may provide a great place to live. Some kids will never thank their parents. God wants us to have an attitude. Forget what everybody else is doing. You just work on you." He was silent. He didn't bash others that were unthankful. Next, he was blessed. Thankfulness is the right thing to do. It's just right. Start every morning. The Bible says, come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Thanks is something you can give. Well, I don't have any money. You can give your thanks. Well, I don't know what to give the Lord this Christmas season. You can give him your thanks. Just start off by just coming up with a list of things that you know God did for you. He's let you live this long. He lets you, okay, let's find it. How many non-COVID people? You did not get COVID yet. Slip your hand up. All right. Put your hands down. Who has it right now? Okay, right there. Good, good. Well, at least they're sharing. It's the Christian thing to do. I knew you guys were going to do it. I knew it. So that's something to be, hey, Lord, I didn't get COVID. Or if you did, I got it and I got over it. We've all got a lot to be thankful for. Let's find out. Let's vote. How many of you have ever had a close call on the highway? You should have been killed. You swerved just in time or a drunk driver or something. I mean, it could have been you. Look at that. How come God left you alive? He's got a job for you to do. One turning of the wheel. Who's ever fallen asleep at the wheel? Slip your hand up. I have. Veered over in someone else's lane. How come I didn't die? Somehow God had a plan for my life. I'm not going to get into drugs and overdoses and foolish places. Maybe you were dangerous spots you brought yourself to where you could have been. Someone else could have been. It could have been. And God preserved your life. We have just so much to be thankful for. God's given us a life. We have a future. We have a country that needs saving. Hey, you don't have to worry about being bored saying, well, everybody's saved. There's nothing to do. There's a lot to do for us Christians. He was blessed, and quickly, his thanks was accepted. He bowed down and thanked the Lord, and he accepted it. You know, your thanks is always appreciated to the Lord. Always appreciated. The nine, we don't read anything about them. Jesus said, where are the nine? I tell you where they are, in oblivion. They didn't make it in the Bible. He never even spoke to the nine. Remember, he spoke to that one. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And then at the end, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. God speaks personally to the thankful. And I'm hoping Thursday will not be one day practice. Well, I've got to be thankful today. It's Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. I'm hoping it's practice for the whole year. Thankfulness is not something we do, it's someone we are. And it all starts with the heart. Maybe you're here today and God has maybe pointed out a little bit that you're a little bit like the nine instead of the one. Or maybe you feel a little bit lonely because you are the one. Just keep being that guy because he made it in the Bible. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven. He wants to cleanse you of that spiritual leprosy. Because only He can heal. And only He can forgive. And He can cleanse just with His words. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.